Greetings and welcome to this edition of Homily Studio, wherever in the world you are, and whether you are listening in to us here today for the first time, or whether you are a returning listener. We're looking at the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Cycle B. My name is John Kleinsman. I'm the director of the Nathaniel Centre for Bioethics, which is the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Bioethics Centre, and I'm based in Wellington. And it is my pleasure to have two other friends to join me in this conversation today, and I'll now allow them to introduce themselves.
Kia ora tātou, ko Catherine Gibbs, tōku ingoa. I'm a parishioner of Te Awa Kairangi Parish in the Hutt Valley. I've just retired as the co-director of the National Liturgy Office after 5 years almost, and it's good to be here.
Kia ora, Catherine. Welcome. Nice to have you here.
Tēnā kōrua. I'm Michael McCabe, a retired priest living on the Kapiti Coast, basically doing full-time supply work now around New Zealand and looking forward to retirement.
Welcome, Michael, and great to have you join us for what is your first time. So as our custom, let us just take a moment to pause and to pray. E noi tātou. From Psalm 100. Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Let us worship the Lord with gladness, coming into his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord is God, who made us, and we belong to him. We are God's people. Let us enter the gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Let us give thanks, for the Lord is good. Our God's steadfast love endures forever, and he is faithful to all generations. Amen.
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 So, looking at the three readings today, there's a couple of threads which I recognise. The first one, I think, is a thread of what I would call restoration. And we see in each of the readings a movement from tears to joy, particularly in that first reading from Jeremiah, from ignorance and erring to being glorified disciples in Christ in the letter to the Hebrews. And then in the gospel story, a well-known gospel story of Bartimaeus, that restoration of Bartimaeus's blindness to full vision. And another thread that I detected is that of new beginnings. For the Israelites coming back from captivity in Assyria, the new beginning in their homeland. For those of us who are disciples in Christ, St. Paul writing about the freedom from sinfulness. And for Bartimaeus, and who is the archetypal disciple, that freedom from blindness. And no doubt there will be other threads too that you've picked up, Michael and Catherine. So over to you.
Well, shall I start with the first reading with Jeremiah? And as you say, yes, I read that too, about the theme coming through of God's restoration of his people suffering in exile. And we read in there's a line there that I found terrific. God calling and consoling this immense throng of people, and that God's restoration includes everyone. You know, the lame and the blind and those in distress are all welcomed back, showing that God cares for everyone, no matter the condition we're in. And the word exile, of course, in today's language, we don't use that very much, but it's a good metaphor, isn't it, for being spiritually blind or being alienated from God. And this alienation today, I guess, can be seen in our lifestyles of materialism and wastefulness, and where the wars that we're waging, bringing incredible suffering to people. And there's a hunger for peace and security, searching for something better, including the good health of the people and the planet, which all needs restoration. And so I just want to, the thought came to me of, well, what does restoration, or what does being restored look like today? And immediately came to mind was that terrific little TV show called The Repair Shop. I don't know whether you've seen it, but In the repair shop, people bring special, loved, but broken and tatty items to be repaired by the experts. And they trust their experts to restore their beloved items to almost the way they were at the beginning. And after a few weeks, they return to see their old tatty object transformed into something of beauty. And they're extremely happy when they see how these treasures have been restored to something that was once very beautiful and loved. And so if we translate that into a spiritual context, I guess we're talking about how this promise of restoration in the first reading gives me hope and comfort to know that this is this is what God wants, you know. He wants to bring us joy and restore us to good health.
Right, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. For me, I think Bartimaeus embodies that hunger that Catherine has been talking about. And looking at the gospel, just to for that has been my thoughts today. It follows the transfiguration in Mark, and then we have in recent weeks we've watched the inner circle of Jesus post-transfiguration, if you like, Peter, James, and John. All of them in recent weeks have had turns at getting things wrong. And today the lens, if you like, from the Markan community widens, and it's the crowd that gets things wrong today. They pick up on that disagreement among the disciples from last week, who's the greatest? And the crowd are with Jesus. He's leaving Jerusalem, Jericho. That's the historic entry point to the promised land for the Israelites. So he's on his way up through the Kidron Valley to Jerusalem. And that's where we will all need new sight, and where our sight and restoration that Catherine and John talk about, our return from exile, will gain a new momentum. He's going to complete his mission of mercy. It's the crowd, the fickle crowd, who are telling Bartimaeus to keep quiet. He's got nothing to say to you. What a powerful moment, a blind beggar. So he's alienated from belonging in two ways. He's a beggar and he's blind. And isn't it interesting that the question that Jesus asks him when the crowd say, then the crowd turn around, don't they? They turn around and say, "Oh, courage, take heart, he wants to see you." So they're now the goody two-shoe crowd. But Jesus asks him the same question that he asked John and James last week. Except, I think, Bartimaeus responds exactly as James and John did. He says, "My teacher."
It's as if the story of Bartimaeus is still part of that story from last week. It's part of the correction that Jesus gives James and John. This is what it means to be a disciple. I actually want to go back and pick up on a point that you made, Catherine, about joy. And it was one of the other themes that struck me as I was reflecting on the readings. And it comes through very, very strongly in the first reading and in the responsorial psalm. And I just stopped and thought about the sort of emotion being expressed there. Shout with joy. We're talking about people shouting. The Lord is telling us to shout with joy, exult. And it's probably not something, certainly as Catholic Christians, I think that we're particularly good at. And I thought, well, how easy it is to hear these words, to gloss over them, and to not really connect. What has been described in both the responsorial psalm and the first reading is this expression of pure delight. And I was thinking about this cascade of sporting success over the recent weekends. And if anyone tuned into the commentary on any of those, they would have seen the sort of expression of emotion and delight, I think, that has been talked about in the readings today. So scenes reminiscent of the White Ferns against all odds winning the T20 World Cup. The Silver Ferns on Saturday night, I think it was, and their totally unexpected victory over the Australian Diamonds, and just the delight and the way they were all jumping and running around afterwards. And then similar scenes around the America's Cup. This is the level of emotion in readings, and I can imagine in most of the churches, the congregation listening attentively, hopefully, with respect, but a somewhat muted response. And I thought about a book that I was given many, many years ago, and that I go back to every now and then, by Abraham Heschel, and it's titled God in Search of Man. And there's a quote there which I'm just going to share now. He writes, "One of our problems is to endow virtue with vitality. Sin is thrilling. Sin is full of excitement. But is virtue thrilling? Do passion and virtue go together?" he asks. And then answering his own question, Heschel writes, "The power of evil can be consumed in the flames of joy. The power of evil can be consumed in the flames of joy." And for Heschel, the word of God, and he was reflecting on the First Testament, is a reminder that for those of us who are on the way, joy is a way to God. Joy is a way to God. So that's my thought picking up on those first two readings. And we can also imagine the joy of Bartimaeus all of a sudden being able to see again.
Yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful still point in that story where, Bartimaeus is saying, "Have pity on me," he's full of self-pity, and then being told to get up, have some courage, and face Jesus. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" And all of a sudden, Bartimaeus changes and says, instead of saying, "Well, I want your pity," he says, "I want to see. I want sight." And the next little bit in the version that I've got, which says Jesus stopped, and this pause, I think, is a moment of grace for Bartimaeus. It's a pause where he goes, "Actually, what do I want? I want to see." He wants to connect with reality. He wants to see the truth of things. He wants to see the truth of himself. This call of Jesus, I find, is another theme that resonates into the second reading, about the call being like, the heart of the church. And sometimes we don't want to hear the call. We're not ready. Like Bartimaeus, it's all about us, not about anybody else. I just want to share this little story because this one comes into my mind as well about the call, and we might all relate to this one where we were kids as a family playing in the sea. We used to go down to the sea and have fun, and then our parents would be calling us from the shore to come in. And we'd pretend not to hear them, and we'd pretend splashing, and we'd just carry on because we didn't want to get out of the water. We were just having tremendous fun. And there they were gesticulating madly, because we're late and get out, hurry up, you're going to be too cold, blah, blah, blah. And we never asked ourselves that question, like, what if our parents abandoned us, took off home? We'd have no clothes, no food, no way to get home. And we'd be in a mess. And I think that that's, a reality story which we can shift into a spiritual context around when we can't see our way out of the mess we're in, we're powerless to resolve things. That's when we recognize our need for God. Our blindness, the blindness metaphor is a very apt symbol, isn't it? We just can't save ourselves. But hearing the call and finding some courage to step up is a way forward.
And we can see Bartimaeus, the gospel tells us that he springs up And it
Yes.
also says in the other little detail, he casts off his cloak. You know, he leaves behind what he's got and springs up joyfully to seek this healing. And I think that's the question that stops us all in our tracks today as we listen to this gospel. What is it you want me to do for you? In other words, where have you been on the road? Where do you find yourselves? Where have you been begging for mercy? Where did we want to be found? So it's spiraling into our hearts. What is happening in our hearts? How might we respond? And as Ignatius reminds us, it's not us questing for God, it's God questing for us. And we see that in the journey to Jerusalem. This is where the quest and the unconditional love will fully flower. So God stopping on the journey for where we are at. It's a powerful, a very powerful and a very joy-filled gospel.
Yeah, as in the hymn Amazing Grace, you know, I once was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. It's a perfect
And
hymn for this coming Sunday.
picking up on your comment, now I want to see and now I want to be found. It's quite a difference coming out of the water.
Yeah. I've
Michael,
got
I
a
love
social
that.
justice. Sorry, John, carry on.
Michael, I
John.
love the line your reference to throwing aside the cloak. How many times I've read that gospel, heard that gospel over my 60 plus years, and never really thought there was a lot of significance in that line. But the idea that following Jesus, it follows a gift, it follows grace, but it also requires of us that we put aside something. There is a certain letting go that needs to happen. And for me, this just casts back to the gospel from 2 weeks ago, Support Life Sunday, when the rich man was being challenged by Jesus about the nature of his attachments and the need to refocus those attachments.
Yeah, I
Very
think
practical.
our cloaks can be like a Snoopy blanket, can't they? They might keep us warm on a cold night, but they don't make travel very easy, and they don't help us to spring up into new life sometimes.
Just taking a step beyond Christ's question of what do you want me to do for you, perhaps. It's another good question to ask ourselves is what do people of the world want us Christians to do for them? To shift it into a lot of social justice context, really. Can I offer them a faith that will heal? Can I live in joy, like you're talking about, John, following Christ and not fear death? Is my prayer seeking insight? Is it, you know, substantial rather than just my praying for a fine day? And, you know, a prayer that I might find the lost car keys. they're all very well and good, but I'm not sure that that's what Jesus meant.
We're at that point in our conversation, I think, where I'm going to ask each of you to think about, if you are the preacher this coming Sunday, what is one thought or one idea that you would want your gathering, your assembly to take home, to take away? What's the takeaway point for each of you? And Michael, I'm going to ask you to go first.
Really, the take-home point for me would be the cushion that Jesus offers on the journey. His question, what is it you want me to do for you? And then to pick up and on Catherine's point, how might I express that more fully in my life and in my faith community's life?
Michael, thank you.
Yes, all of the above. To trust in God's call, that God's call and promise of restoration is something that, if we accept, as leads to the consolation that's offered through Jesus, who's the still point in our life. Look what he did to Bartimaeus, and look what he can do for us. And there's the psalm response. The Lord has done great things for us. We're filled with joy.
Got it, Catherine. Thank you.
Thank you.
For me, it would be let's be disciples of joy and to express the joy of our faith in a more conscious way. But I'm going to sneak in a second idea too. And it's one that I think is again critical to the gospel. The Bartimaeus and the crowd, as you made the point earlier, Michael, the crowd are the ones this week who get it wrong. And the crowd are the ones who are wanting to silence Bartimaeus. And at this time, when our church is gathered in synod in Rome, and the whole idea of synod is about sharing, listening, different people expressing their voice. I think the challenge for me would be for people just to ask and to think about during that week, who are the people, insiders or outsiders? Bartimaeus was the outsider, disciples and insiders. Who are the people, insiders or outsiders, that we are silencing, whether wittingly or unwittingly, within our faith communities or within our families or within our work?
Thank you, John.
So thank you, both of you, for this very enriching conversation. And now, Michael, I'm going to ask you to finish with a concluding prayer.
Kia inoi tātou, let us pray. Loving God, you listen to our prayers as beggars on the road of faith. You stop your journey to heal the blindness within our hearts and to restore our joy. Help us to listen especially to your son's question today. What is it you want me to do for you? We pray that we are not just like James and John, desiring glory, but rather that we become more like Bartimaeus, longing to see your son Jesus once again within our hearts. Mā te atua, mahehu karaiti. Amen.
Amen.